Good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our visitors. Glad you're here to share our time with us at our morning worship service. It's always good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. Nice to hear that echo. Amen. Amen. We're going to open our service this morning singing hymn, Holy Spirit, Thou Art Welcome. We will sing through this twice. Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Amen. Now we'll move back to hymn number. Well, you don't have a hymnal. It's difficult to make these adjustments sometimes when you have the old ways of doing things. Hymn number 349. We're going to sing Are You Washed in the Blood? Good song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His gracious power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily in the Savior's sight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you wearing each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Who will be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and prayer and thanksgiving for your love that you sent Christ to die for us, be raised again, for just washing our sins clean. Father, we thank you also this morning for all those armed forces members that were lost, that gave us the freedom to live in this country, Father, and to worship you as we see fit. Father, we ask your blessing upon all those gathered here. We ask that you get us back home safely, and bring us back again to worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, and once again, welcome to all our visitors. We're glad to have you with us this morning. In the way of announcements, Brother Chad is going to be preaching a series starting next week on conquering real life. The series will run June 6th through the 26th. Not only can you find more information on this series in the back page of your bulletin, Brother Chad's going to bring a short snippet of what's to come. Hey, Tanner, can you turn Brother Chad on, please?
To say I'm going to preach this series is kind of a misnomer. Because it's going to be something I haven't done before, but for those of you who have a little age on you, you remember that when we were growing up, there's a lot of conversations that took place around the kitchen table. And mealtime was not just food, it was an event. There was a lot of wisdom passed down, especially if you were younger, just sitting listening. You thought it was boring at the time, but there was stuff soaking in that was going to stay there and form who you are. So for this series, we're going to, for those of you who don't like change, let me prepare you now, Jamie Haver. The pulpit's going over there in the closet. It's not going away. It's going to the closet. I'm going to put a table up here, and we're going to have some conversations with some amazing people who I have had the privilege of knowing for decades. And they've got stories to tell that will encourage us all and inspire us of how God has worked and moved in their lives. Next week it is Jody and Tricia Kennedy. And Jody, they both are missionaries who Jody contracted, while he was on the mission field, contracted COVID and should not be alive, but God. And his testimony and what God has done will blow you away. So let me also prepare you, okay? Especially if you like your seat, Jamie Haver. There will be visitors here, okay? So be early. Be who we are in terms of greeting them and making them welcome. There'll be visitors throughout this series. So I'm excited about what God's going to do and come prepared to be blessed. So.
Thank you, Brother Chad. Jamie, did you get all that?
I think you got that.
Just wanted to make sure. Also, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, and as you can see on the front of your bulletin, this is the weekend that we celebrate Memorial Day. Let us not forget those brave men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice, ensuring that we have the freedoms that we enjoy to this day in our country. Just a little snippet. Dad and I were talking earlier this week, and Dad brought something up that I just never really thought of, and we have Veterans Day for the people that served and were able to hang their uniform up and still live their lives out. Armed Forces Day is for the folks that are still serving in uniform, whether they be active duty or reserve. And Memorial Day is really the day to just mourn those that gave their lives to seal the freedoms that we have today. So let's not forget those folks as we go through tomorrow. It's not just a day for barbecue and parties and having a good time. It actually should be a day of reflection. The church continues to encourage the use of masks and social distancing. It's not mandatory to wear one, but if you're not feeling well or you're like this morning, I'm a little stuffy, I know it's not COVID because I'm fully vaccinated, but I'm going to go on and wear my mask just to make sure, okay? In the way of prayer requests this week, I was just informed just a few minutes ago by Miss Mary Ann Huckabee that her sister, Patsy Murrah, did I get that right? First time for everything. She fell twice and has fractured her back. She's going to have to undergo surgery, and Laura told me that they're going to put some kind of cement in her spine to try to stabilize it. So let's keep Miss Patsy in our prayers as we go through the week. Also, Alice Hotchkiss, many of you may know her. She sits back there in the back with Miss Mary and Miss Lois most of the time. She has fell and cracked her kneecap. This is not the first time that Miss Alice has fallen either. She will be undergoing physical therapy for the next several weeks, so if you would remember her in prayer as well. Miss Gail, how you doing? She's getting there. I'm glad to hear that, Miss Gail. Please continue to pray for Gail and her renewed return to health and grace. Also pray for David. David, I know it's tough trying to take care of Gail, but hang in there, okay? Beverly Swafford's sister, LaWanda. Go ahead, Beverly.
She's doing fine. She has probably another
Oh, no. Awesome. Well, we'll continue to pray for Earl. And for those of you that couldn't hear Beverly, her sister is now at home. She got about another 6 weeks of recovery after removing her kidney. Earl, who has cancer of the small intestine, they're having problems treating him because every time they give him something, he has a reaction to it. So this morning, our scripture is going to be 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. This is going to be from the New King James Version. There we go. Thank you. And it is in your bulletin on the inside, or you can turn to your Bibles or your apps or whatever you may have if you'd like to follow along. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." May God bless the reading of his word. Brother Jerry, you're up.
I was thinking while Brother Chad was talking about this new series, in my head I'm hearing, "Well, we never done it that way before." But you know what? Sometimes you need to step out of your comfort zone and learn a few things that we haven't been doing. And I think this is going to be an excellent series, and I'm looking forward to it, brother. All right. Do you know that if you have been saved, you are victorious? You are victorious, and we have a victory in Jesus, amen? And that's what we're going to sing about. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 57 says, "He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," amen? Let's sing.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He brought me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing in the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there in song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Oh, how He loves you and me, right? He loves each and every one of us. He gave His love to us through the sacrifice of dying on the cross. He showed us what the true meaning of love is. Oh, how He loves you and me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. John 15, verse 9. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life, what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. To Calvary did go. His love for sinner to show. What He did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Bob's new toy.
Of God in helpless babe, this gift of
I don't care what anybody says. Hymns are not old or outdated. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we can sing and praise your word and praise you for who you are. And Father, we thank you that you love us enough to want to be intimate in our lives, that you want to know our thoughts, and you want us to tell you what we're feeling, even though you already know. And Father, I pray that as we study your word, you'll open our minds and our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will have free reign in this room. Father, open our hearts and change us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. When you see those three letters, what comes to mind? Forward. Forward. If we're going to move forward in our Christian walk, what do you think keeps us from it? You can speak from not your own knowledge, but of that you have of friends that keep them from moving forward. What keeps us from moving forward? Sin. Us. Fear. I want to suggest to you that those three letters stand for also three of the things that hinder us as Christians as much, if not more than anything else in our lives, from moving us forward. Things that keep us from being closer to God. It's fear, worry, and doubt. I can guarantee you, if they're not in your life, they have been and they will be again. Fear, worry, and doubt. I hope you brought your scripture track shoes, because I don't do this a lot, but we're going through it today. So, go with me to Isaiah 41, because I want to examine first fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10. As we take a look at fear and how it's in our life, and then we're going to look at how do we get it out. Isaiah 41, 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 103 times from Genesis to Revelation, God says, "Fear not." And yet we're afraid. 103 times he says for us, "Do not fear." But we do. You know, not all fear is unhealthy or keeps us from God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So it's clear some fear is healthy. The fear of God is. The fear of everything else isn't. I heard a story about a criminal who stood before the king and he was guilty of his crimes. And the king said, "You have two choices." One was a noose. And he said, "You can be hung right now." The other is that door. And the criminal looked at his options and he said, "I'll take the rope." And so he was put on the platform, the noose was put around his neck, and he said, "I just have one question before you hang me." He said, "Since I'm obviously not going to be telling anybody, what's on the other side of that door?" And the king laughed and he said, nobody has ever picked the door. They've always picked the rope. He said, the other side of that door is freedom. You could have walked out of here. But fear of the unknown paralyzes us. I heard a quote from Les Brown that said, too many of us are not living out our dreams because we're living out our fears. Too many of us are not living out our dreams because we're living out our fears. The second one is worry. Do I have any self-admitted worriers in here? Go to Philippians 4. You know, so often in Scripture, I often say my Bible is the Bible for dummies, because God makes it so simple and clear, and still I can't get it sometimes. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I don't know how much clearer God can make it, how much easier to understand in terms of worry. God says, do not worry about anything. And yet we do. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. It's pretty simple. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So God is telling us, don't worry about anything. Tell me what you need. Thank me for what I've done. And forget it. And yet we worry. Now, I've used this illustration before, but imagine, if you will, you're in a room and there's two doors. And God says to you, I want you to stay in this room. Everything you need is here. And if you go through either one of those doors, you're going alone. I'm with you. I want you to stay in this room. I'm going to give you absolutely everything you need and some things you want if you'll stay in this room. There's two doors. And I guarantee you that when it comes to worry for every one of us, it's because we went through one of those two doors. The first door is yesterday. You walk through that door of yesterday and you start replaying all the things that went on that you wish were some other way. But you have no control to change them. They are done. The other door is tomorrow. And we walk through that door of tomorrow and we start playing out scenarios of things we want to make sure happen or don't happen. And we worry about them. I once heard that worrying about tomorrow is putting a down payment on something that will never come, possibly. Because God said, you have today. That's where I want you to live. That is the room He has put us in, today. Don't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. I have both of those taken care of. Your responsibility is today. And yet we worry. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't happen? What if? And then, how often have you done that? And What happened was none of those scenarios. It was something you couldn't have imagined. Do not worry about anything. I don't know how much clearer that can get. And then there's doubt. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. At verse 6. Says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord if he is double-minded and unstable in his ways. Double-minded means at one minute I'm focused on God and one minute I'm focused on the world. And I can't decide which one I'm focused on. But here's the thing. Whatever it is you're doubting, whatever it is you're facing, you only have one choice. Because you can only focus on one thing. You're either going to focus on that thing, whatever that is, or you're going to focus on God. And if you're focused on that thing, you are going to doubt whether God is going to show up. Now, I will tell you, for all of us, at some point or another, doubt will creep in because of the human side of us. Listen to this quote. Darkness is such that I really do not see, nor with my mind, with my reason. The place of God in my soul is blank. There is no God in me. Sounds like an atheist, doesn't it? You know whose words those are? Mother Teresa's. Countless soldiers for Christ have moments when they go, there is no God in me. Where did he go? There is doubt. There is worry. There is fear. So how do we deal with them? How do we make sure that these don't hinder our walk in moving forward? It's our scripture for today, our first starting point. Therefore, humble yourselves. It's 1 Peter. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him. For he cares for you. The foundation of everything that we are, in terms of our belief, in terms of moving forward, has to stand on the fact of our relationship with Christ. And then what we need to do is replace fear, worry, and doubt with faith, wisdom, and dependence. If we can have more faith, more wisdom, and more dependence in our life, we will move forward and we will shut out the fear, worry, and doubt. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, in terms of our faith, we all had a moment in our lives where we put our faith in Christ. That's the starting point. If you've accepted him as your Savior, that's just the beginning of your faith journey. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen are made visible. And the rest of chapter 11 is a record of the giants of our faith and what they did and what God did when they put their faith in Him. So for us to have less fear and move forward, we need more faith. And our faith comes when we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I am afraid, I cannot control this, but I know You can. And in order to do that, we have to stay in that room of today, because none of us are promised tomorrow. And stay out of that room of yesterday, because it's gone. The next thing is wisdom. Go back to James chapter 1, the verse before the one we just read. James chapter 1, verse 5. This is another one of those that's so simple, how do we miss it? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. If you ain't got it, ask for it. He gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Are there any in here who will admit to refusing to ask for directions? Are there any in here who have ridden with those who refuse to ask directions? There's the better question. All we have to do is ask. And God's going to give us the wisdom that we need to comprehend today. This is where we get off course and we start worrying. God, I can't say that. When you are focused on something other than the day, you are... First of all, God's going to give you wisdom when you ask for it, but He's not going to give you wisdom for tomorrow. He's going to give you wisdom for today. The last thing is dependence. Move back to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 5. You see, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to have less fear, worry, and doubt, and more faith and wisdom, we have to have dependence. John chapter 15, verse 5, this is Jesus talking. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And get this part, because it's important. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Not something, not sometimes, not a little bit. If you are trying to do it yourself, you're going to be full of fear, worry, and doubt. That's the only time that those three will creep into your life. Is when you're on your own. But if I am dependent on Him, I will find less fear, worry, and doubt, and I will move forward in growing in Him. I will have more faith, more wisdom, and be more dependent the further I go. It just grows. So let me close with this. There is nothing easy about you who have lived long enough to know, and you don't have to live very long. Jesus promised this was going to be hard. In the coming weeks, as we start this new series, you're going to hear some stories from just ordinary people, just you and I. They're not speakers, most of them. They are people who have walked by faith, who have encountered unmeasurable mountains to climb, and through God's grace have a testimony to tell, so that somebody who's walking behind them knows where to step. Because that's what God desires for us. That's why we're still here, is to show somebody else the way. So as we grow in our dependence on Him, there's less fear, there's less worry, there's less doubt. And when you see somebody who you go, ah, I've been there. I know what that's like. You can take them by the hand and show them where to go. And where to go is closer to home, closer to the cross. But it starts in us humbling ourselves and acknowledging that the more you try to move forward on your own, the more fear, worry, and doubt you're going to have in your life. And so when we humble ourselves and go, God, I can't do it, and we stay focused on the room that He put us in, which is today. Stay out of yesterday and don't go into tomorrow. You will find something incredibly sweet and incredibly satisfying. Pray with me. Father, I thank You that You love us enough to care about our every need, our every worry, our every doubt. And Father, as we want to move forward in our relationship with You, I pray that You help us to grow dependent on You, that we see our faith grow as we ask You for wisdom. And Lord, it is in Your name that we pray. Amen.